Welcome back to What I Did Next from A&T Media. I'm Malak Fouad. I welcome a new guest from the region on each episode, and we take a deep dive into their lives' most pivotal moments. On today's episode, I talk to the uber-talented, multidimensional Janan Shahedi. We talk about her life's key turning points and why she doesn't like being called an artist.
Calling me an artist, per se, like my son, no, I don't like. I feel he's a real artist. I think I'm a very good technician. Yeah, that's how I describe it.
I can't believe you're saying that.
Why?
Because you're lowballing yourself completely.
I'm just I'm good. I'm very good at what I do. That I know. But I'm not. You know, artists paint from the soul. I'm not that artist. I'm a bespoke artist. I like starting points.
Okay.
I like the client to get inspired by the client.
Right.
I do get inspired by people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They give me energy. And yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I like going to decorators and telling me, listen, look at this dining. I want an 18th century Chinese dining room. I like that. And then I like the research part and how to do the lacquer. And I've done that. I've done actually an 18th century where the walls were actually lacquered on how many layers we did. I like that versus you giving me this wall and saying, do what you want. Where do I start?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
You need that anchor. For you, it's like an anchor. You need that.
Whereas someone like my son hates that.
Janan is a Palestinian-American artist who's made her mark creating bespoke pieces for clients around the world, whether they be murals in Washington, D.C., furniture and candles in Cairo, or transforming old discarded handbags into little arm candy jewels, or creating colorful side tables for cozy lounge areas. To say that Janan is versatile is an understatement. She brings passion, imagination, and dynamism to whatever art medium she's working on, and her eye for detail and color is unsurpassed. This episode has been a long time in the making. It was originally scheduled for season 5 and then season 6. So I was really excited to finally sit down with Janan in person in Dubai, where she now lives. Janan and I have known each other a long time. We even attended the same school in Jeddah way back when. But interviewing someone and knowing someone socially are very different. As a friend, Janan is fun and mischievous. As a guest, she comes across as passionate, eager to tell her story, and driven to make her mark through art. Janan is someone who discovered her passion for art early in life, while growing up in Chicago.
I used to always take my mom's lipstick and paint on the walls, and she'd hit my hand, and I'd do it again and again, until one day, I think it was my dad or her, said, why don't we get her a jotting pad with some crayons? And apparently that was like, I just stopped, you know, vandalizing the walls, and I started I guess that was my first, and I just got obsessed. And I remember I could sit there and jot for hours.
And that was when you were in Chicago for how long?
Until I was like maybe 9,
okay,
10, and then we came to Saudi.
Then Saudi.
And yeah, and then we...
And your heritage is what, Janan?
I'm Palestinian.
Both parents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And my dad was always very proud of Palestine. So we never lived there, but I mean, I feel like, I feel so proud to be Palestinian. And he was very much into politics. So I remember my childhood was him with young politicians, and they just discuss Palestine all night, and my mom would be cooking. And
so you grew up around that?
I grew up around that. Yeah. I grew up around, he was always being followed.
Was he in politics?
He was in politics. He was a professor of nuclear physics. He was he had a column in the Chicago Tribune for a long time, and he was just a really brilliant debater and speaker, and was offered amazing positions but never took them because he felt he might be compromised, because it wasn't, you're not really free.
So he wanted to remain independent.
Yeah.
And then at some point in your teens, you moved to Egypt.
And then we moved to Saudi. And then after that, we went we always had a home in London.
Right.
And then we went to boarding school there. And then after boarding school, my dad was like, my God, my daughters don't speak Arabic. This is, you know, they have no sense of culture whatsoever. So we were supposed to go to AUB. There was the war in Beirut. So he sent us to AUC. So
in
that's
Cairo.
How we came to Cairo, yeah.
And at that point, your parents were still married to each
other?
Yes, they were.
And my mom always loved Cairo because she loves the Egyptian movies, Egyptian series. She used to read all the books. She was a big fan. So she was very happy to go there.
And how did you feel about the move? Were you happy with that? Or
I mean,
you...
it was a culture shock for us.
Of course.
Yeah. And we didn't speak Arabic well, so that was a bit of a problem. But it was just very different. I remember going to AUC and wearing, let's say, ripped jeans that I bought from King's Road, the shop called Flip. That was a really cool vintage shop. And I remember everyone saying, "Pantalona matata," you know, like, "What? Who is this?"
Yeah.
You know, I just felt it was very nonconformist, yeah. You know.
And at this point, throughout your school years and at AUC, were you developing your art side, your artistic side?
Yeah.
Or was that just a hobby, or was it something you were thinking that this could become my life?
So I was supposed to go to art school in London, but my dad chose us learning Arabic and going to AUC versus going to Central St. Martin's or Chelsea School of Art. He says, like, no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you have to go and get a proper degree.
And so you got, what did you study?
Mass comm.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you were frustrated with that?
Very.
Akid. The amount of people I've interviewed who actually did exactly what you just said. They did what their parents wanted. And then when that was out of the system of the parents, they went and did what they wanted.
Yes, most of us.
Neda Dibbs is a good example.
Right.
Her father wanted her to do a business degree. She went to AUB, did it, hated it. Eventually did her architecture degree.
She's brilliant.
She's brilliant.
I love her.
So you did the communications degree.
Yes.
On the side, you were still painting. You were still developing that.
So everyone knows, or who knew me in AUC, was that I would tell all the professors before the class that I would be sketching. And it's not like I'm not listening to him. This is the way I focus.
Right.
So I had a notepad with my notes and I had my sketch. So I'd be sketching. And a lot of my friends, I used to go and throw it in the bin after, and they'd go take my sketches and keep it. And they came and showed it to me later. So I'd be sketching either the professor or someone in front of me. It was always like life drawings. And that's how I'd be able to focus.
But you're totally self-taught, or you were at that point.
Completely self-taught. I've always been fascinated by the technical side of paint.
Okay.
Solvents, how paints were made. You know, and it's great because, you know, ancient Egypt is a perfect example of how they used to bind the pigments and what pigments they'd use and the minerals and all that. So I was already very fascinated by that side. That's why I'm saying I'm different from an artist, whereas I'm more the technical side.
Okay. So what, you would go and create your own paints and mix and match
when
stuff?
When I came back from DC.
I see. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So what happened next after college for you?
I met Omar while I was still in boarding school.
Okay.
I was at a party.
Yeah.
Met him in Cairo at Christmas. My dad used to take us to Christmas. You know, it was like the best Christmases.
They were the best vacations ever.
And he would take us
I would do that every time, every year.
He'd take us as kids to these nightclubs, still focused. You know, they weren't babysitters at the time. And we'd be like me and my sister falling asleep. So I met Omar in one of the parties. So
can we just put this in context? Yeah. Omar is your first husband.
Yes.
The father of your children.
Yes.
But how you met each other and how the relationship developed is a movie in its own right. It's a mini series.
It is, yeah. So, I've been asked that a lot.
You met when you were in boarding school.
You know, it's a huge love story. And you'd come back and forth from boarding school. I was in a girls' boarding school in Sussex. And we'd have to, like, keep a lookout at the windows because there was a guy coming to visit me. And it was
I was in a similar... I was in a boarding school, girls' boarding school. And everything was always illicit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And against the rules and, yeah.
And I was great at it. Look, I'd put, you know, pillows under my bed and sneak off to London.
Yeah,
it was
great.
Never got caught. Actually, once I got caught.
I did the same, but I got caught the first time I did it.
Oh, no.
So Ahmed was already in the picture when you were in boarding school.
Met him when we were in boarding school. And then when I came to AUC, he was showing me around, and then we rekindled our relationship.
And you were what at this point? You were 21?
Yeah, I was still in college, and then by mere coincidence, strange circumstances, I find out that my mom is marrying his father, and we never made the connection because they both had different last names. So
how old were you when your parents divorced?
17.
And so your mother met Ahmed's father
later, yeah.
Later on.
Yeah. And then, and I knew that my mom, you know, was with this, but my mom had moved out. She was in London this whole time. Mm. She went back to London. And then I knew she was with this person, and I knew he had a son called Omar, but we did not know. When we found out, my dad just freaked out. I remember he got me the map of the states and just put it out in front of me. And he's like, right now, you choose a city to go live in. And I just started panicking.
He wanted you out of Cairo.
Yeah,
and away
he's
from
like,
Omar.
This is not happening. You know, I like the guy. And he loved him. He loved Omar. He's like, I like the guy. He's a great guy, but I can't take this.
What was it about the situation that bothered your father?
My mom marrying his dad and the fact that he was Muslim. I'm Christian. I'm Catholic.
Right.
So that didn't help. But also Palestinians want to keep Palestinians together
right.
as much as possible because yep. we're being diluted
of course.
With each generation.
Of course.
But he liked Omar. I mean, Omar was
yeah. as a person,
great
he liked him.
Yeah, he did. But he's like, this can't happen. So I did that. I took the next flight out and I chose DC because it reminded me of London from pictures. I'd never been there.
It does look similar. Yeah.
Yeah, the New England.
Georgetown
yeah.
looks a bit like
when
Chelsea.
I went and lived in Georgetown.
Yeah.
And he spoiled me, got me a nice car, nice flat, blah, blah, blah. And yeah. And so for 2 years, we had actually broken up. But it was very painful. It was very like...
And a first love and a first breakup yeah. is traumatic.
Yeah.
It really is.
It was traumatic.
But it opened up another world for you in America.
Absolutely.
And it opened up your passion for art. But what had you been doing in Washington up until that point?
Looking for a job.
But
he just saw me go and just deal with it. Just
okay,
go deal
find
with your
something
life.
To do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sarafi.
Okay.
Go.
Yeah.
So I went and I didn't know what to do. So I'm walking down the street and I see a billboard on a wall saying mural assistant needed. And it was just like a lightning bolt just hit me in the head. Like I just realized this is what I wanted to do. I don't know why. It was that moment. I'll never forget. It was like, that's what I want to be doing. I'm going to be painting buildings.
When we come back, we'll continue Janan's evolution as an artist and mural painter. That's right after this break. I wanted to take a minute to tell you about our bonus episodes, available exclusively for subscribers. On each bonus episode, I take a deeper dive into my guests' industries, and I share some extra parts from our conversation. For example, actor and comedian Rami Youssef told me about his thoughts on cancel culture, and ex-anchor and now author Hela Gorani told me her thoughts on the future of journalism. All of these great stories are only available on our bonus episodes, so subscribe now to unlock this amazing extra content. You can subscribe in Apple Podcasts by clicking the subscribe button or on our website and get instant access to all our bonus episodes with a 2-week free trial. And now, back to the show. Welcome back. You're listening to What I Did Next with my guest, Janan Shahedi. Before the break, Janan was telling me how she was wandering the streets of Washington, D.C. and decided to answer an ad to paint murals.
And I'm sitting there and I look at the line. There's like, oh my God, there's a lot of people who want this job. Shit, I'm not going to get this job.
Mm-hmm.
I go, I sit with him and then I'm like, he's not going to hire because I see everyone with these big fat portfolios from Parsons, RISD, all these great schools. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm not going to get in, am I? So I thought I'd play the pity card. So I told him I'm a struggling artist and I basically can't, you know, live without, you know, even the minimum wage. Could you please, you know, I'll do anything. So he hired me as a studio cleaner.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Meanwhile, this is very, you know, I'm living in Georgetown in a very nice flat.
And he has no idea.
BMW my dad sent over and he had no idea, you know.
But did he hire you as a cleaner and then also hire a muralist?
Yes.
Okay.
So he hired an assistant but didn't hire me and hired me as the cleaner. And he told me, don't you dare go near any mural.
And what is the name of the artist? Does he know?
Byron Peck. He's quite known. So I did the taping very well. I cleaned the brushes and I'm looking at this assistant that he hired and I'm looking at her like, she's really crap. You know, I could do this so much better than her. I just knew it,
but I
didn't have a portfolio from, you know. And she was really annoying. And she was going out with this actor, Bill Paxton, at the time.
Right.
The guy that did Apollo.
Him.
And he'd come pick her up in his Ferrari and take her. And I'm like...
And here I am cleaning brushes.
And getting coffee for everyone.
And getting coffee for them.
So anyway, one day we're painting this. So don't forget, at the time we were getting paid by the hour.
Yeah.
Okay, so... You know, and she's really slow.
On purpose.
I don't know if it's on purpose. She's just not very, I'm known to be very quick. I've always been known to be quite quick when it comes to, you know. So I'm looking at her painting. We were doing this restaurant called South Beach and Adams Morgan. So Adams Morgan ended up doing like half the street later. Like I painted so many things there. So she's doing a mural of South Beach, and she's going and painting the window and looking at it from a distance and sipping her coffee and taking, and I'm like,
very pretentious.
Not pretentious, slow and over entitled.
Yeah.
If you can call it that. So yeah, so she goes to lunch hour, and I'm like, So I just take the brushes and I finish that mural.
In the same day?
In that hour.
Oh my God.
It was like I was possessed.
How funny.
So she comes back.
Taman,
and
furious.
She has a hissy fit. And then Byron comes by, and I thought he'd be really happy. He fired me.
Right.
He told me, I told you not to touch a paintbrush, you know, against the rules. You know, you've hurt her feelings. You know, I was wrong.
But he saw the talent.
But I went home. So I used to come with my rollerblades back because he couldn't see that I had a car, because he still thinks I'm a struggling artist.
Yeah. You're also an actress, clearly. So you left?
So I left like with my tail behind, you know, and I was just so upset. And, you know, I was really upset because I really enjoyed, you know, I thought that I would impress him. And but anyway, he calls me a week later. So not only do I go back to work for him, I become his main painter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The assistant becomes your assistant.
No, she left. She left the job. She couldn't handle it. And I had 13 people working under me. So with him, and then he would just, you know, he'd just leave me stuff to do and just leave to Brazil, leave to.
So it was his building. Name on the door, but it was your work.
No, he'd make a sign.
Oh, he would.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. He was great that way. Yeah. So he had a lot of faith in me. He was really.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's an amazing story. What did you take away from that experience?
Oh my God. So much.
Really?
Best years. Yeah. I loved it. First of all, I learned a new medium because we use silica paint.
Yeah.
Which is neither oil nor water. So I just went back and saw a mural I did 25 years ago, and the colors are perfect.
Wow.
No fading, no UV, nothing.
Amazing.
Like, yeah. I also did furniture at night to, I just didn't want to think about my status with Omar. I was heartbroken.
So you threw yourself into it.
Totally threw myself into it. Totally. I was obsessed. So I was great for Byron because he was like, I've got this little workaholic here.
Yeah.
Who's doing a lot for the hour.
Right, right. Exactly.
So we were finishing more projects. And then in the end, we became partners because I was the one on the street. He had vertigo, funnily enough.
Oh.
He actually wouldn't go up to paint.
Oh, wow.
So I met a lot of potential clients, and I'd go to him and say, listen, this person liked what we did. And he's like, listen, we've got to be partners because you're getting me all this work.
Sure.
So.
And how long were you doing all this for?
4 years.
Oh, 4 years.
Yeah.
You stayed that long there.
Yeah.
And what ended it? What stopped? I mean, why did that phase come to an end?
So Omar's dad, they had the Sheraton Hotel, and he came to meet the company to hire us to paint a wall. It was like his
very undercover way of getting you.
And I remember Byron telling me, you're not coming back. I'm like, don't be silly. No, they really like our work. They really want us to paint. He's like, no, he's doing this because he wants you to be with Omar.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's exactly what happened.
And your dad in all this?
So my dad was in New York at the time. He was living in Connecticut. So
we
eloped in Cairo when I went, and then we went back to New York.
And your father didn't know all this beforehand?
He was very upset with me.
And
he didn't speak to me for 5 years.
Really? Oh, wow, Janan, that must have been really hard.
Yeah, very hard.
Very difficult.
Yeah, and I'm really a daddy's girl.
Yeah.
Like, it was tough.
And so you eloped because you knew you wouldn't get your father's blessing?
Because I was in Cairo at the time, and basically I was whisked to this office. I don't know what I was. I had a fever at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I was sick, but just signing papers, and it was all a blur to me. And then he was like, basically, Amo Islam took control and basically said, okay, you're married now, both of you. You've both been miserable. I can't, you know, off to New York and go be a man. And
go tell your father-in-law.
Yes.
And your mom and all this?
She wasn't really for it. She was neutral. She knew it would be a lot of heartbreak for me.
Mm. Because of your dad?
My dad and me. And she saw me thriving in the States.
Oh,
and
wow.
She was like...
Yeah.
So I was at a, looking Mishwet back now, I was at a crossroads, and I was doing so well in the States. I was making so much money at the time.
Yeah.
Did really well, you know, and then I go to Cairo, and then
it's another world completely.
Yeah. I get asked to paint cherubs and flowers and
all the classic traditional stuff.
You know, I'm like, oh
yeah. It's interesting. There are so many I think everyone has this in their lives where you have that sliding door moment. You know that movie, remember Gwyneth Paltrow? It's so true. If you had taken door one, you would have had one life. And if you take door two or subway or you know,
like if I stayed in DC, I know the man who I would have probably ended up with,
right?
And I know what I would have been doing,
because
there was a man and I just never gave him a chance. Yeah. And looking back now, he was actually really quite wonderful,
yeah,
and super. But I just didn't give him.
You didn't give him a chance.
I didn't give him a chance.
Yeah,
because I was
that word.
You know, hung up on the idea of Omar.
When we come back, Janan tells me about her move to Dubai and the exciting Mercedes She's Janan campaign. That's right after this break. I wanted to take a minute to tell you about our bonus episodes, available exclusively for subscribers. On each bonus episode, I take a deeper dive into my guests' industries, and I share some extra parts from our conversation. For example, actor and comedian Rami Youssef told me about his thoughts on cancel culture, and ex-anchor and now author Hela Gorani told me her thoughts on the future of journalism. All of these great stories are only available on our bonus episodes, so subscribe now to unlock this amazing extra content. You can subscribe in Apple Podcasts by clicking the subscribe button or on our website and get instant access to all our bonus episodes with a 2-week free trial. And now, back to the show. Welcome back. You're listening to my conversation with Janan Shahedi. In 2013, after 2 decades in Cairo, she moved to Dubai.
So we were in LA. Every year we used to go to LA, every year. It was my dream to retire there, be on Venice Beach, paint, you know, I have my bicycle.
And Venice Beach has a ton of murals too.
Yes.
That's very much
the same. Actually, what took me to Venice was what made me go there. We were going for the last 18 years, was the movie Xanadu.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because the murals, I was like, that's why all my life, I was meant to be a muralist.
Yeah.
I really believe
you
that was my
that.
Calling.
Yeah.
On our way back, there was the Rabaa massacre.
Yep.
So the airport was closed.
That was the day of my 40th birthday.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
That day. So that day,
yeah.
40th birthday, yeah. We got stuck in London.
Right.
And Omar just thought this was a sign.
Yeah.
Not to go back. And I remember him sitting in the room, the poor thing, wearing his bathrobe and thinking, what do I do with my family? I can't go back. This is crazy. And me as a Palestinian, I'm like, come on, it's fine. Let's go back.
You have a thicker skin.
Alas. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It was always Omar was the type that would get, if the kids were sick, he would be the hands-on, bring all the doctors in Cairo over. And I'll be like, halas, they just have a fever. It's not a big deal.
And I'm like you. My husband's more of the mother hen.
Right, he is the mother hen. Yeah. So I remember sitting there and he's like, okay, we'll go to Dubai. And we took a hotel room and I had to find a school in mid-August in Dubai for the kids. It was a bit of and I was like nonstop crying. I
hated
remember
it. There was a massive exodus out of Egypt then.
Yes.
At that same,
yeah.
A lot of people panicked and didn't go back. So you settled here.
So I settled in a flat the size of my bedroom in Egypt.
Yeah.
You know how our homes are big there. And I remember praying with all my heart, saying, God, I mean, I used to have all these companies and now I'm sitting here. I don't know what to do. I don't have workers, you know, like in Egypt, I have workers.
You had your whole team. You had developed a team.
Huge team.
And taught them.
Of course. Been with me for years. And here I'm in a city where you don't have unemployed people walking around.
So
that's also very tricky. Yeah. Like I can't hire a painter. I need to bring him from abroad and a sakino and lodging and insurance.
I'm like, of course.
So I just sat there and prayed with all my heart. What am I supposed to do now? I'm a workaholic. I'll go nuts.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah.
I can't just sit here. So I didn't know. Yeah, I went crazy. But my prayers were answered in the most bizarre way. Where a friend of mine in Egypt insisting for such a long time to paint on her bag. And I'm like, why would she want to paint on her Birkin?
And not just any bag, a Birkin.
And she was insane. She kept it. And I never had time. I never had time. And then finally, she's like, you're in Dubai now. Now you can paint my bag. And she brought me the bag. And it just, that was it. And I looked up to the sky. I'm like, is this what you had in mind for me? Because it was actually a perfect answer to my prayer. Because it's something I can do in my little flat. I didn't have to get a studio. I didn't have to look for workers.
It was just you.
It was just perfect.
Yeah. So that was another light bulb moment for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then I had one of my best friends in London had a huge, a very, one of the third, not, she was one of the third biggest vintage stores, Claudia. And I called her up. I'm like, listen, do you have any bags you haven't sold?
Mm.
She's like, yeah, a lot. I'm like, give them to me. Let's paint them and see what'll happen.
That's clever of you.
And Harvey Nichols just bought all the collections for like, we were there for like 6 years.
That's what I meant by saying, did you have a collection that you sold? So you did. Yeah. You started that way.
I started painting my own collection. Yeah. And I had no clients in Dubai.
Right.
So I'd be waiting every month for a box from London of vintage bags. I'd paint and
send them back.
And they did so well. I went to the opening and all the Egyptians in London came and supported me. It was really, really very nice.
And why didn't that continue?
It didn't continue because Chanel in Harrods said, we're going to sue Harvey Nichols.
Oh.
Why are you selling our bags painted?
Huh.
And Harvey Nichols was like, it's vintage. They're over 20 years, which means over 20 years old. We're allowed to paint them. And they're like, yeah, but prove it.
It became a legal problem.
Mm-hmm. And which they would never have won, but they didn't want to go through the legal headache of it. But we did very well. And the fact that we did so well was what brought Chanel's attention to the fact of why are you,
Louis
Vuitton had no problem with it.
Right.
By then, the director here had seen one of my bags on a friend, went up to her who did this, contacted me, and then I became the main painter for Louis Vuitton here.
Mm-hmm.
And
so they did a line.
No, they just, all their clients that wanted stuff, they would give it to me.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. And they were aware and they were fine with that.
They were very happy with it. Yeah. They were very happy with it.
Well, it gives the bags a new lease of life.
And all their VIP clients would just ask, I had this Indian, he wanted the Maharaja's elephant on his luggage.
Yeah.
It's his, I did for the Royal Bahrain, their emblem and their emblem? Heraldry.
The ancestry.
Their heraldry.
Yeah, the heraldry.
Emblem on all their luggage. So this was all from their Louis Vuitton, VIP clients.
Yeah. So you did the bag, you still do bags. And then Mercedes approached you.
So Mercedes approached me at the lowest point in my life.
Okay.
I had just divorced, unfortunately. That was really tough on me. I lost my father a few weeks after. My kids went off to college. All of a sudden,
you had big things in one.
One of my dogs died. It was just like a, when they say, it was just like,
what about? Yeah.
And I had done a bag for Mrs. Gargash, who's
the agent of Mercedes,
the wife of and I meet her with Rosamund, bless her. I don't know if you know Rosamund Manji.
Mm-hmm.
And she took me to her by force. It's like almost like it was a calling. They pulled me. They were trying to pull me out of this dark space I was. Because I just felt my entire life crumbling.
And at this point, Janan, you'd been in Dubai how long? A couple of years? By then?
Yeah. Three, 4 years?
Okay.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was already established in the bag business and stuff. And she's like, they had, I don't know how many in the world that they were trying, and they chose me. And I'm like, she's like, no one's going to do it but you. And she kept insisting that you are going to. And I tried, I said, listen, I'm grieving my dad. And she's like, but this might help you, And it was incredible. And I remember sitting and my kids helping me because I wasn't good at computers at the time.
Yeah.
And I had to come up with the design. And I had the design. And I remember my daughter was really good with and my son both helping me with. And I gave them the proposal and they were like, yes. And it just.
And that for you, because it's interesting. So when you went to Washington as a young woman, you did it because you were trying to forget something else. And then Dubai, 2 years after you having been here, mm-hmm. you threw yourself into your work again, trying to forget something. So work has always been your mainstay,
art saves.
And it's always been there, your constant saving you.
Art saves
me. Yeah.
Art always saves me. It really does.
And how was the reaction to the Mercedes?
My God, it was huge. It was massive.
You did one car? Millions
of views.
You did one car?
Did one car that was driving around town by all the notables, for 6 or 8 months, I think.
Uh-huh.
Just everywhere. It was great.
And how long did it take you to do?
3 months.
Yeah, wow. Mm. That's a lot.
Fun.
And how did you come up with the design? Did you think of it yourself or did they advise they wanted?
Totally thought of it myself.
Totally you. Okay.
They were trying to get the G-Wagon to appeal to women.
I see.
So they felt that the G-Wagon in Dubai is very much a man's car.
Right.
So I did a feminine take on it, and we all drove it around to
Nice.
encourage.
And did it work?
I think it
Did
did,
more
yeah.
women buy it?
I don't know I didn't get the data for that.
Yeah. Well, I think I've seen a lot of women driving that car
Maybe,
now.
yeah,
So, yeah.
maybe. But they did this whole video, she's Mercedes, she's Janan campaign. It was really great. And we
Nice.
had a big opening at the Leila Hellar Gallery. That
Yeah.
was
Yeah.
amazing.
Yeah.
And everybody, so many people flew in from Egypt. Like, that's what I mean by Egyptians are really good.
Yeah.
I love them with all my heart.
Yeah.
I get like,
Well, your very close friends are Egyptian. Yeah.
yeah, for
But
sure.
it's interesting that you also decided to stay on in Dubai. You beca it
Yes.
became your home.
Yes.
So even
It's
though
been very good to me.
even though you moved here not wanting to be
Not
here,
one.
but then it became completely your
Yes.
home. One of the reasons we didn't have our interview, I think we had planned it for November, was obviously because of the Gaza war.
Yes.
This war has caused you a lot of anxiety and has it's very disturbing. But you've used that to create awareness through your work.
Yes, we did a butterfly initiative where I painted a butterfly with the kufiya inside to symbolize freedom and our culture because we were feeling that it was trying to be canceled. They were canceling our culture. So, and what's the word for identifying the kufiya as a terrorist? How would you say that in a
Oh,
sentence?
it was being wrongly symbolized as a terrorism
Yeah.
symbol, right?
Actually, I don't know if you know this, but it's about the net is about the love of the sea and fishing, and the leaves on the side are the olive trees,
That's right.
and the lines are the trade routes. And yet
It's a
they're,
very symbol, it's a
yeah,
beautiful
and yet
symbol.
they're symbolizing with terrorism. So
Yeah.
I just thought the butterfly was a symbol of freedom, and it just became viral. Like so many people would just send me by the hundreds. I was just painting. I couldn't do my work. I was just painting these butterflies for so many people, and they would travel with it, and people would come and ask them, "What is this about?" And then they would explain to them.
Yeah.
So it's my little tiny little way of
Yeah.
raising awareness
Yeah. Yeah.
to what's happening. But this is a very distressing.
It is a very distressing time.
I feel bad for our kids. I really do. You know,
Yeah. No, I agree.
like I wouldn't be surprised if both my kids came and said, "I don't want to have kids."
Tell me a little bit about what you're doing now.
So I love cycling. I'm a cycling, bit of a cycling maniac. Almost every few years I have some sort of cycling accident. My latest accident was I broke my elbow.
That's why we didn't do the interview the first time.
Maybe.
You were sitting with your foot up or
Yeah,
your
yeah,
hand
yeah.
up
Just
or something.
I'm just so accident prone. So I had a cycling accident in the Hamptons actually. And no, oh sorry, take that back. No, that was my knee accident which I had in the Hamptons,
Okay.
which was probably the first time we couldn't do is was the
Maybe,
was the knee
maybe.
accident I had in the Hamptons. The next year was my elbow, also in New York, but in Manhattan. And I used to work for Alberto Pinto, who's a very famous decorator. I was his decorative painter on some projects. And he fortunately let me use his staff, who are amazing. And I thought he would tell me his staff were in Syria and Lebanon because he did this inlay work, but it turned out to be a Palestinian man who lived in Egypt.
Oh,
And we
wow.
became very, very good friends.
Huh.
So I did a whole line of inlay furniture that did really well.
I remember you had the most gorgeous bright mirrors,
Yes, yes,
fantastic colors.
yes,
Yeah,
yes.
I
So
remember
those
that.
colors I created because I don't want to say, paint chemist, but I came up with a formula that was self-leveling liquid glass
Yeah,
that I
it's
could do it in these
fabulous.
incredible colors
Yeah.
that I poured rather than inlaid.
Right.
So me and him, he was Allah yarhamah, he was a great guy, came up with the way he'd put the pearl and I would pour the paint, and
They were gorgeous.
yeah, they
The
were.
colors were just to die for.
Yeah,
Yeah.
because I couldn't get those colors in wood.
Yeah.
See what
Ah.
I'm saying? So that's where my paint chemistry comes
Yes,
in.
exactly. You're an alchemist.
There you go.
That's what we're going to call you,
Yes, Jen, I love
Janan
that.
the
People till this day, we would like your mirrors, we would like your mirrors, we would like your
Those
mirrors.
mirrors really left a
But
big impression.
yeah,
I'm in the queue.
I love them, but I never went back to do them.
Yeah.
So at that time, I had a rather large house, and I remember the coffee table being far from me. And I created an armrest out of palisandre wood with steel inlay so that I could put my coffee here like that and not have to bend over it all the time. And then I'm like, why don't I reverse it and make a C-shaped table? So looking into research, I thought I created that table, but it turns out, no, it was there, but I hadn't seen it at the time. And I did many of them, and I did them in palisandre wood with steel, with the resins, with the mother of pearl. And a lot of people in Egypt loved them. And even if you've been to the Shitta's house, they all have those
I
tables.
hadn't realized that you began this 30 years ago.
Yes.
I thought this was a new thing that you were doing now.
The shape is the old, but so I believed at that time that I created this table. And Alberto Pinto told me, wow, this is so clever that you created the C table that goes into the couch versus me bending over. So, but later I found out actually that it was actually created by the ancient Egyptians.
No
Yeah,
way.
my friend Namat showed me, and she's like, "You're not the creator." I'm like, "Okay, I thought I was." But anyway, fast forward to Dubai. I'm here. I use that table all the time, and my elbow is like, "Oh, that hurts." And then I realized, why don't I make it in leather? It'll be soft to my broken elbow. And that's how I came up with the idea of making the same table but encased in leather. And I have a really cool team now. It took us also, I don't know, 4 months of how to print it perfectly on the sustainable leather where it's completely waterproof and the coffee just spills out. And I've got my designs on. So they're limited edition designs. They're cheaper, they're lighter, they're more versatile, and they're just great.
And is that printed here in Dubai?
Yes. So they're made in
Interesting.
Dubai.
What's your legacy? How do you want to be remembered?
I know it sounds cliche. I want to be remembered for how I made people feel. I'd like the people who I love to know that they were loved. I don't know if I'm going to keep any, if any of these clients are going to keep their bags till after I'm gone. Not sure if they'll have much of a
What?
legacy
They'll
that
hand
way.
them down to their girls and their
Most of my
sons
walls
and
in DC rebuilt, so I've only have one mural left, literally one mural left. Even that restaurant I did, several restaurants have all been changed, so there's not much legacy in that. So
But I think, Kamen, the legacy is what you've instilled in your kids. That's a huge impact. And that goes down in generations, Bordu.
I always cared about my kids not being zombies. I always cared that I wanted my kids to have passion. I wanted them to have a passion to this is what's very important for me, and they do,
And
thank
they
God.
do. That's amazing. And that's partly because of when they were kids, they were not doing stuff just to pacify them, right?
Yes, yes,
They were
yes.
having to think about what to do. Janan, thank you so much.
Really?
This was perfect.
Was it?
It was great.
Thank
That
you.
was really great.
Thank you so
Thank you,
much.
Habibti.
Thank you.
That was my episode with bespoke artist Janan Shahedi. You can find out more and shop her collection at Janan's studio home, and you can find the link in our show notes. If you're a member of this show, you'll get a bonus episode next week where Janan talks art techniques and we unpack her cultural life. You'll also find extended clips from our episodes on our YouTube channel, and you can connect with us on X, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Just search for What I Did Next. Thank you for joining me today. You've been listening to What I Did Next from A&T Media. I'm Malak Fouad, and the show is produced by Chirag Desai. See you in a couple of weeks.